Good evening. It's great to see everybody here. Again, I'm excited about the summer series. Excited to be up here and get to talk to everybody tonight. You can see the topic, what the church needs is, and then Jesus. And there are a lot of ways you could go with this. And I promise you, I went through a lot of different ways of going about this. Any of you that have ever maybe preached or taught classes or whatever it is, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes I have lots of ideas. Lots of ideas about what I want to do and how I want to do it. And there have been times I've even started on something. And then something else came up and I changed directions with it. And that's kind of what happened here. Let's see, this is Wednesday? Monday night, Jenny and I were, we don't pay for a gym membership. I work at a high school, so we use the high school weight room. And we were up there working out. And we always have music playing while we're working out. And in the early 2000s, I was introduced to Christian rock music. I liked Bon Jovi and stuff like that before, but I was introduced to this, and I really liked it because I could listen. I really love hard rock music. I could listen to it, and the lyrics weren't bad. Everybody understand? So I'm not going to play it over the speakers. I'm not going to do that. But anyway, some of these songs, the lyrics in them are amazing. Some of the you learn the background on some of these people and all that. And so as I had a Christian rock playlist going as we were working out, and of course, I made the playlist, but one of my favorite songs came on there. Now, this band isn't necessarily one of my favorite bands. They get a little too yelling, screaming, and a little too hard for me, okay? But there's a song. It's called Dear X, You Don't Own Me. It's by a band called Disciple. And I know Bill has read poetry from the pulpit. Dennis Smith used to read his own poetry from the pulpit. This could be a little bit different. But it's still, again, this is one of my favorite songs because of the message that's in it. So I'll read you the lyrics to this, and then you'll see how this fits into what the church needs is Jesus. It starts, Dear pain, it's been a long time. Remember when you were holding me tight? I would stay awake with you all night. Dear shame, I was safe in your arms. You were there when it all fell apart. I would get so lost in your beautiful lies. Dear hate, I know you're not far. You would wait at the door of my heart. I was amazed at the passion in your cries. Dear anger, you made me so high. You were faithful to show up on time. Such a flame that was burning in your eyes. I let you go, but you're still chasing. Then the chorus is, go ahead, you're never going to take me. You can bend, but you're never going to break me. I was yours, I'm not yours anymore. You don't own me. Go ahead, put a target on my forehead. You can fire, but you've got no bullet. I was yours, I'm not yours anymore. You don't own me. First time I heard that song, that said something to me, right? How could the authors of this song say that? Now, I realize they don't come out and say, Jesus, you're the reason this is the case. But that's exactly what this is. Such strong emotions, these strong states of mind, things that we all feel, things that can control our lives. Because how often our lives have pain, either emotional or spiritual pain, shame, hate, anger, those type of things dominated our thoughts and held on to us. Also notice how the way they write it, they seem to be comforting. I recently read about this. I can't remember what it was, but sometimes how we will hold on to that pain or, again, the shame, the hate, that sort of stuff because we're comfortable with it and we're used to it. Or we don't see another way to get rid of it. And we can do that. We can get rid of all that because of Jesus. And so, one of the lines that's it's repeated multiple times in the chorus. Of course, you guys know it understands the song, so they'll sing the chorus over and over and over. But one of them was, Again, I was yours. I'm not yours anymore. You don't own me. Well, who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about this pain and this anguish and stuff, but also sin. Sin no longer owns him. Sin doesn't have that hold on him anymore. Or you can look at it as the world or the devil or however you want to look at that. But you can see that it no longer controls him. It no longer owns him. Because again, he says, I was yours, but I'm not yours anymore. And so the idea here then is if this author, this song, the writer of this song can write that, and I feel like there's probably a point when any of us could have truthfully sang the stanzas to that song or said the stanzas, the ideas that are in that. If we don't belong to that anymore, then who do we belong to? Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Or I like to, sometimes I like to contrast it with something like the New Living Translation. It's a bit more conversational. Jesus said in the New Living Translation, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Again, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, where does that weariness come from? How do you become heavy laden, or in today's speech, carry heavy burdens? I don't know how many of you walk around saying, I feel heavy laden, all right? But the idea that we carry these heavy burdens, right? Well, some of it may be just from the things that are happening in our lives. In Matthew 13 and 22, Jesus refers to the worries of the world. I'll just go through these quick, but Jesus refers to the worries of the world. James 5, 13 through 14, he says, is anyone suffering? Is anyone sick? In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus talks about those that are mourning or persecuted, addresses how we're not to worry about possessions and food and the future. But when you think about that, the worries of the world, right? It's in the parable where the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches come and choke out the word. Where James, you know, again, is anyone suffering? Is anyone sick? Well, it's because people do suffer. People are sick. Or people do mourn. People are persecuted. And I know Jesus says don't worry about possessions and food in the future, but how often do we worry about those things? I mean, just going through all that, truthfully, as I was writing, that made me feel a little weary, right? Life can be hard. And sometimes it's full of hardships. And that's a reason we need Jesus. Now, if I go back to that song, some of the things he was talking about, the pain, the shame, the hate, the anger, just that sort of thing. When we go, so often when we're going through hardships, those type of things can creep into our lives too. When we're a little bit weakened by the bad things that are going on, that's when that stuff can kind of creep in there. Now, sometimes I know when we go through hardships, boy, that's when we just buckle down and we pray like crazy and there's others around there for us and we do great. And sometimes when we're going through those hardships, like I said, it's hard. And you're mentally, you're tired, and you're physically tired, and you're spiritually tired, and that's when those things can creep in. Well, here's the thing. I don't know, it sounds rough, right? But that's why we need Jesus. Let's look over at 1 John 5, verses 13 through 15. 1 John 5, verses 13 through 15, John says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. For those of us that believe in the Son of God, for those of us in the church, we have confidence that God hears our prayers. We can pour out our cares and troubles, and our Father, we know that he hears and he answers our prayers. And it may be our cares and troubles in good times. It may be Thanksgivings, and we know, and God hears that too. But we do this, how? We do this through his Son. You know, that says when John says that there. Again, verse 13. He's written to those that believe in the name of the Son of God. All right, and he says also, you may have eternal life. We'll get to that in a minute. But the idea that he hears our prayers. So how do we get through when things are rough, when the world is hard? We pray. And we know that God hears us, and we can trust that he'll give us the strength that we need to get through whatever it is. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Again, that New Living Translation says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I think that's a great way to do that. It's a great way to look at it. I'm going to brag on John Ewing a little bit. Often in our elders' meetings, one of the first things John says is, we need to pray about it. Right? And that's exactly how we get through that anxiousness, how we get through whatever it is that's hard, is we pray about it. For the church, for the followers of Jesus, you know, we know that we have the peace that surpasses all comprehension. Here's the beauty about that phrase. I don't have to explain it because it passes all comprehension, right? We have that peace that's there. Why do we have that peace? Because we know that God's there with us. I don't know. I'm sure most of you in here at some point in your life have been going through something hard, and you've prayed about it, and for whatever reason, you just know it's going to be okay. That's that peace that you find. That's that peace that's on your heart. You say, well, it surpasses all comprehension. Why do you feel that way? Well, you can't give a, hey, this is exactly why, or maybe you can say because I passed it on to God or whatever, but it's there. And so we have that peace that surpasses that all comprehension. So when those heavy burdens come from the challenges of life, and it can apply to us as individuals, families, church, whatever, we have the confidence that as followers of Christ, God hears and answers our prayers. And so, in some ways, the church needs Jesus, guys, just to get us through this life, right? But what else can cause that weariness? Where else can those heavy burdens come from? Well, you know, in that song, he was wrapped up in the things of the world, wrapped up in that sin. And here's the thing. Like I said, all of us have felt that before. All of us have been there before. Why? Well, because we all fall short. You know, Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've all been there. Maybe we've all been there, maybe we're there right now, whatever it is. But in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, again, I'll go back to that. When Jesus says, I will give you rest, and that you will find rest for your souls, guys, he's freeing us from that burden of sin. We don't have to feel that burden anymore. We don't have to feel weighed down by, if I go back to the lyrics of that song, pain and shame and hate and anger, other things, jealousy, envy, all that sort of stuff. We don't have to feel weighed down by that. Or we don't have to feel weighed down by the guilt of that stuff because we've been forgiven. And so we can have that rest, that our souls will find that rest. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, all right, I'm a follower of Christ, but how come life's not just easy now, all that sort of stuff? One of the things I love in that song, he says, I let you go, but what? But you're still chasing. All right, again, you can look at that either as sin in the world. You can look at that as a devil. Goodness, when Jesus was tempted by the devil and he overcame that and the devil left, but it doesn't say the devil left for good, what did it say he did? Look for more opportune time, right? And so, well, same. Guys, for all of us in this room, if we're to be honest, when it comes to sin and that sort of thing, there are some things that we have overcome that may not be much of a temptation anymore. It may be the season in our life that we're in it was a temptation maybe when we were younger. It was a temptation we were in this specific situation, but it's not really a sin. It doesn't really bother us anymore. But what tends to happen, though? Something else steps in, right? Something else comes in there and comes back. And we just have to be aware that it can pop up. It can be there in our lives. Like I said, I'm probably referencing this song way too much, but the words in it, the pain, the shame, the hate, the anger, those are things that, again, they'll pop up in our lives occasionally. And those are the type of sins that continually chase us, that continually tempt us. And what if we give in to those? What if we give in to those? We know we're not supposed to do that, right? We all know we're not supposed to do that. So what happens when we do give in to those? There's a couple things that can happen. One, we can just try to internalize it, keep it within ourselves, just hold on to it. And what does that do to us? Well, that eats away at us. That's where that burden is. Or we can trust in what God has told us that we get through Jesus. Because that's the beauty of following Jesus, is the beauty of God's plan of salvation. Let's look over at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2 and 24, and he himself, so this is Jesus, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. When it says that he bore our sins, that could also very easily be translated, it's my understanding, he carried our sins up to the cross. Jesus took that burden on himself, and that's why we can find, from Matthew 11, that's why we can find that rest for our souls, because our sins are forgiven. And it's not just a one-time thing that like happens at baptism, that our sins have been forgiven, it's wiped clean, and then I guess we just have to hope that tally marks are better on the good side than the bad side. See, that's not how it works. When James wrote in James 5:16, to confess your sins one to another, who is he writing to? He's writing to Christians. I don't know why this didn't, maybe it just took maybe a little maturity. Who's the whole New Testament basically written to? It's written to Christians. And it's not written so that we'll have a very specific order of service. It's written because Christians sometimes sin, and this is how we fix it. And you say, well, how do we fix it? We don't fix it. This is how we know that we're good, that we know that we're, when we, James is saying, you confess your sins to one another. Jesus took our sins on the cross. We ask for forgiveness. We're forgiven. Let's look at Paul, who is, again, writing to Christians in Colossae. Let's look over at Colossians 3, 8 through 11. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Now, again, remember, he's writing to Christians. Paul says, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. The new self that's being renewed. Where does that renewal come from? Well, that comes from repentance. That comes from turning away from sin, and then we are renewed, we're cleansed through Jesus' blood. Remember, he's telling Christians, put aside anger, wrath, malice. Why would he have to tell them to do that? Well, because it keeps popping up. But he says, now please understand, I'm not saying that, Paul says, was that in Romans where he says that don't keep sinning so that grace may abound? Yeah, that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, we know we're occasionally going to mess up, but we don't have to just hold on to that burden, that Jesus has taken that away. So let's look over at Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. Paul says, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." It's this old self, that's that sin that keeps trying to creep back in. Again, that sin that's still chasing. I didn't write this down, but in David in Psalm 51, when he says, "To create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me," it's that same idea. It's that same idea that he's asking God to cleanse him. He wrote that after the whole thing with Bathsheba and Uriah and all that, and he asked God to renew him. Guys, we live in a dirty, sinful world that's constantly trying to get at us. And so we're going to need that renewal. We're going to need that cleansing daily. Think about your house. If you just clean it once in January, what's that thing look like in June? Now, some of you, it may look great. All right? I don't know. But pick on Devin. Devin's home. Our house gets dirtier quicker now. All right. When Devin and Brian were home, it got dirty a whole lot quicker. Okay. It's just me and Jenny. We're perfectly clean. I don't know why she cleans so much. But anyway. But you guys understand what I mean, right? That stuff, that dirt in a spiritual sense, that dirt, it's just constantly trying to get in there. And so we have to constantly be renewed. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, our inner man is being renewed when? Day by day. Okay, and so how does that happen? What happens through Jesus' blood? It happens through what Jesus has done for us. Now, I'm going to go back to the song. I realize this stanza is maybe a little bit different than anything Bill or Dennis ever read from up here, but I think you'll understand. One of the parts in the chorus says, "Go ahead, put a target on my forehead. You can fire, but you've got no bullet." The idea is we don't have to fear the death that comes from sin because of Jesus. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we could probably read all of it, but I won't read all of Romans 6. Romans 6, we'll start with verses 3 through 7. Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now let's jump down to verses 20 through 23. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in the sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why he says, you can put that target on me, but you can't hurt me. That's why, because we've been united with Christ, we've been crucified with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. And so that burden of sin that could be so burdensome that it could spiritually, it could kill us. He says, got no power over me. Why? Again, because that free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, after saying that, say, well, that's great. So we follow after Jesus, our sins are forgiven, things are good. And that's true, but is this going to be easy? Well, maybe some days it will, and there may be some seasons in your life when, again, following after God is just it's cake. Or maybe there may be days where everything is great, and then there's going to be times when maybe it's tough. It's tough. It's a struggle. But often, yes, it's going to take work. Here in Romans 7, he talked about being enslaved to God. If we go back to Matthew 11, notice that Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. He says, take my yoke upon you. Then he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Who in the ancient world wore yokes? Slaves and draft animals. Right? Slaves and draft animals. What did they both have to do? They both had to obey, and they both had to work. As followers of Christ, that's going to be part of this. Yes, there are going to be times when we mess up. Yes, there are going to be times when we sin. But we obey. We live a life in which I love how Bill's taught this. The impact that man's had on me spiritually in the years we've been here has been amazing. The idea that you're living a Christian lifestyle, you are seeking to follow after Christ. Yes, you mess up here and there. All right, it's not, I don't know, this is just me, I kind of felt like it was more like Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, where you're kind of dangling over the fires of hell with, that's not it. All right, you live that Christian lifestyle. You seek to follow after God. When you mess up occasionally, there's going to be problems, but you can be forgiven. But what's the cost of all that? Well, this. We're going to have to obey God. We're going to have to work for the Master. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul writes, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that not that I have already obtained it nor have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Guys, even the Apostle Paul had to continually work. And when I say continually work, I don't mean just like he's planting churches and he's preaching and he's doing all that. I really, because he says, I haven't obtained it or have already become perfect. When you use perfect, of course he's not perfect. What does that mean? That means mature. That means he says, I haven't arrived yet as a Christian. Paul's saying that. I haven't arrived yet as a Christian. I'm still working on it. I'm still trying. I still struggle. But twice in that paragraph, he said, I press on. What does that mean? That means he's taken on that yoke, and he keeps working. And he keeps trying. And he says something that can be applied to those song lyrics from before. He said, forgetting what lies behind. Holding on to the old sin, the pain, the shame, the hate, the anger, whatever it is, the guilt, that sort of stuff. Holding on to that, that won't let you do this. That won't let you live for Christ. That won't let you press on. He says, nope, just forgetting that. Again, from that, from those lyrics when it said, you know, put that target on me, you can fire, but you've got no bullet. What type of bullet would that have been to Paul's faith if he would have just sat there constantly feeling guilty about the persecution he did for the church? Would he have been able to do what he did? Would he have been able to operate the way he did? No. I know he said, I'm the chief of sinners and all that sort of thing, and one untimely born. But he doesn't say that in a, oh, woe is me, and I just can't get going. That's not what he was doing. Guys, we let go of all that old stuff. We let go of when God forgives us, we move on. Again, Paul put on that yoke of Christ, and then he pressed on toward the goal. Now, there's a lot of different ways we could have done what the church needs as Jesus. There's a lot of different ways it could have been examined. I thought of four or five different ways. But I hope that from this lesson, we can see that what the church needs is we need forgiveness, we need strength, we need renewal, and we need hope. And all of those things are found in Jesus. So to start off this whole thing, what does the church need? The church needs Jesus.